Our scripture reading for today comes from Matthew's Gospel, and it is from Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount, which, since we all have a little extra time, I might recommend you reading. It starts at Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, because it's the beginning of his ministry, and he touches on several issues in this Sermon on the Mount that he is going to talk about and expand upon. Words of wisdom, words of the way that we are to think and to live. And after he goes through his sermon, these are the final words that he has to say, as we hear Betty read for us.
Jesus said to them, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was its fall." May God add a blessing to the reading and hearing and understanding of the scripture. Amen.
As I'm sure you remember, last weekend we had much better weather than this weekend, with temperatures in the 60s. And so after church, John and I went home, had some lunch, did a little yard work, and then we decided to go for a hike on a trail near Santuit Pond in Mashpee. And so I wanted to tell you a little bit about our adventure and some thoughts I had after reflecting on our walk. Now, the trail we took led us to the Santuit River, and there we saw literally thousands of river herring trying to make their way upstream against the current up into the pond to spawn. And it really was an extraordinary sight to see this battle of the survival of the fittest. We watched as the fish first rested in some relatively calm water before making a run up the fish ladder to the pond. Now, some obviously made it, but others would bump into a rock or into each other and then tumble back down exhausted. And to make their ordeal even more difficult, hovering overhead were dozens of predator birds just waiting around for an easy meal. And so we stayed there for a few minutes to watch, and then continued on. Soon we came upon a bumblebee, or should I say bumblebees, collecting pollen from a huge willow bush. We quietly and carefully moved up close and personal with the bees, and we could see that they were loaded with so much yellow pollen under their bellies that they seemed that they could barely just fly. And it was so neat watching them work, moving from flower to flower, gathering the pollen, and then flying off to wherever their nest was. Now, the next sight we saw was one that many of us would classify as yucky, but still, all in all, it's part of God's plan and creation. A garter snake had caught a frog and was in the process of swallowing it when we happened upon it. So the snake froze completely still, waiting for us to pass. And all you could see of the poor frog was just the lower half of his body and those two big frog legs. And I thought to myself, silly snake, didn't he realize he was leaving the best part, the frog legs? Now, I've never eaten them myself, but I understand that frog legs supposedly taste like chicken, But I think I'll pass, thank you. Anyway, like I said, it was yucky, but it was still fascinating to witness. You know, as we walked along the trail, we saw small ponds and big ponds, cranberry bogs, beautiful vistas and budding trees, and of course, people. People who, while adhering to the proper social distancing, were smiling and obviously happy to be outside, enjoying life and living, enjoying the mysteries and wonders of God's creation. People who, after weeks of the same old bad news and bad weather, perhaps had their spirits lifted and renewed for at least a few hours. And this made me think of the words of that beautiful hymn. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, His hand of wonders wrought. This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass I hear Him pass. He speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me never forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. Yes, God is the ruler yet. And from another great hymn, for the beauty of the earth, for the glory of the skies, and especially for the love which from our birth over and around us lies. You see, the point I'm making here is that our human spirit needs reinforcement, needs to be uplifted once in a while. And what better way than through nature? You know, creation is meant to be savored because it's one way that we make a connection to our Almighty God. The earth is the body of God just as we are. And so by savoring the delights of the earth, we connect to the divinity that flows through it and through us. And so now that it's spring and the weather is hopefully getting better, I think it's important for all of us to get outside. Walking, gardening, even now playing golf, whatever. To make that connection. To really see the beauty, the intricacies, the magnificence of God at work. And now I know some of us aren't all that mobile, but even if you can just sit outside on a chair or bench, or open a window and look outside and feel the wind, and watch and hear the birds, see the flowers and the new growth, and you'll still be able to make that divine connection. And my guess is that not only will you know that His eye is always on the sparrow, but you can be certain that He is watching you. Now, besides connecting to God through nature, human interaction is the other great reinforcement and uplifting we need. And during this pandemic crisis, that's obviously hard to make happen. But I know so many of you are doing your best to reach out to those who are alone with a note, call, or an email. And that's so important and the Christ-like thing to do. Because you see, when we speak of the human spirit, We all know that it is a most fragile thing. There are times, like during this crisis, when our spirit languishes and can even be broken by that lack of interaction and especially touch. And we stop seeing the world with love and joy and through the eyes of God. Instead, we start seeing despair. It's a big part of what's happening today as a sobering pessimism begins to pervade our lives. Now, I saw an article the other day entitled, COVID-19 could kill an extra 75,000 Americans through deaths of despair. Drug or alcohol misuse and suicide. People begin to reflect on their own mortality, on those past hopes and dreams and expectations that were never realized. Failures that suddenly seem magnified. And then self-doubt and self-condemnation start to set in. Or they worry about the future and their situation, and their fear overwhelms them. You know, it's obvious that even many of us are beginning to feel anger, anxiousness, aloneness. And that is why it is so important during this time to maintain a structure and to stay grounded on a firm foundation in our lives. And what foundation is better than that of our Christian faith? That's why Jesus is telling us in today's scripture that whoever hears his word and trusts in them and lives them has this assurance that when the virus attacks, when the rains fall and the floods come and the winds blow, our house will not fall. Our spirits will not be crushed. Because it has been founded on a rock, a solid rock, Almighty God. And this is so important for us to take to heart. Because the words and promises of our Lord offer us the opposite of pessimism and despair. They offer us peace and strength and courage and comfort and hope and above all, love. Now let me repeat that. Jesus' words offer us peace and strength and courage and comfort and hope, and above all, love. You know, why else would Jesus tell us again and again that he came to bring us life, abundant life? Why else would Jesus assure us that he has overcome this world? It's because God loves us. And even though we may be alone, isolated, confined, we have a God who refuses to leave us alone because of his love. I mean, just look at all the great parables and stories of Jesus. They are all about God being there for us when we are lost or troubled or hurting. We are the lost sheep he goes out and searches after. We are the wayward son who the father runs out to meet. We are the adulterous woman protected and forgiven. We are the parched woman at the well who is given living water. We are the barren fig tree that he promises to care for. We are even that person beaten down and left for dead in a ditch on the side of the road who is saved by someone we least expect, maybe even God. Yes, God is there for us always. I like the way C.S. Lewis expresses it. He said, "When I get to heaven, I fully expect to stand before God, and in a grand moment of recognition, I will exclaim out loud, 'So it was you all along. Everyone I ever loved, it was you. Every decent or fine thing that ever happened to me, it was you. Everything that made me reach out and try to be better, it was all you. It was you all along.'" Now, since it's still the Easter season, I want to take you back to the resurrection, to the garden, and that moment when Mary recognized the risen Lord when he called her name. You heard Dana sing about it a few minutes ago, and wasn't it beautiful? So now, just imagine in your mind's eye meeting Jesus in your garden, or on a walk, or gazing out the window and watching the creation before you. Imagine him walking with you, talking with you, assuring you that you are his own. Now imagine the joy. Imagine the love. I can feel it. Can you? And to think, all these thoughts started with a simple afternoon hike in Mashpee. Amen.